Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We have updates to the running back tiers. So the running back tiers are the initial salvo of this updated system that I'm going to be using. That is just to continue to incorporate more data to help you make more analytics-based decisions, right? To get more, to improve our process. So what have we done? Well, it's the same general scheme, couple added columns. So you'll notice at the left, again, it's player top 20 or their 2020 seasonal finish, their top 24 finishes, their top 12 finishes, their 2021 age. Again, that's the age that they'll play the last snap of their 2021 season at. So they might be 25 right now, but if they turn 26 in November, they're going to be 26 in that column. Round is draft in the NFL round. Experience is how many years they've been in the NFL. Experience progress, again, that is the that is essentially the how far through your career, given your hits to date, right, where you are in relation to the prior accomplishments by your draft round. So, for example, just using a player here. That actually has some of these numbers. Ronald Jones, coming off a top 19, a top 20 seasonal finish, finished running back 19. So he's got a top 24 seasonal finish. He'll be 24. Second round, 3 years of experience. That formula basically adds up to he's 0.64 years behind pace. So you'd expect, a little bit more than 2.3 is the average years that it takes a second-round running back to accomplish one seasonal hit. That's how you should read that. And so he's basically two-thirds of a season behind that. That's essentially what it is. What is added to this is here. So I changed dynamic density to read one top 24 dynamic density, right? What's the odds of having a future top 24 seasonal hit based on what you know about the player's profile to date? Again, that's a relatively dumb number, right? And we don't say that to insult dynamic density, but it doesn't know much. It knows basically draft round and accomplishment to date, right? And based off that, we can say, all right, here's what basically you would expect from that historically. Has no idea about athleticism other than what's already baked into the draft cost. Has no idea about the quality of the starting job, what's already baked into draft cost, right? It's just basically the simple numbers. So that's good in terms of setting expectations, right? We can move from that. We can make some individual judgments. How do we make those individual judgments? Well, one of my favorite ways to do it is, and I think, I really think about these numbers as a, hey, let's try and avoid the big miss, right? Let's try and avoid, we might take a bogey or we might take a par, but let's try and really avoid the quadruple, right? let's try and really, really avoid the 12 on the scorecard. This is kind of what this is aimed at doing. So you have the dynamic density, which is, again, you're looking at the round and their experience, their progress, their hits to date. And it's just simply saying, what's the odds of going one more based on that draft round? And experience progress sort of tells you, hey, they're kind of ahead of the pace or they're kind of behind the pace. So that's dynamic density. And then the next column is the one top 24 market implied number. That is the odds of a hit based on what the market implies with the RDP. So we can, I've basically run a regression, not going to bore you with the math, run a regression that basically spits out a number, which is based on your ADP or your RDP historically, here's how many, here's the likelihood that you will have to hit in the future for a top 24 seasonal finish. One top 24 seasonal finish, and I actually capped it at rounds one through three, or years one through three, because that's kind of that's kind of really what we're kind of aiming at. If it's a if it's only going to improve it a little bit if we sort of incorporated more, and I wanted to incorporate more classes, so it's a little bit of a trade-off. If you haven't hit during that time, the odds that you actually hit are extremely low, so I wanted to get more draft classes in there. So I made that sacrifice. So that you can basically read those as essentially measuring the same things. So you'll see, for example, as running back one, Christian McCaffrey, has a 83.52% chance historically of producing at least a top 24 seasonal finish over the next 3 years. Okay, and you'll notice that his dynamic density is 72.73, right? So that's, again, the market likes him quite a bit. That's the highest number. He's the running back one. The running back one has the best odds of a future hit. So that is the that is basically, you know, that's what that measures, right? And so I think you could blend those. And I haven't put the formula in there. I'm debating about exactly how I want to do that. I want to test a couple more things, but I do want to get this data to you to help you frame decisions. I think there's a couple of different ways that I could factor in a single number, right, to sort of give you a single number. But I'm going to sort of hold off on that because I haven't quite made it to that process yet on adding the on adding the actual number in. So I want to, of adding it all up, putting a composite basically together. But I want you to have the number so that way you can make some decisions. So that's that. Column K is two top 12 dynamic density, right? The odds basically, based on your top 12 seasonal finishes to date, what are your odds to hit twice more for a top 12 seasonal finish? So there's some curious numbers in here. For example, Miles Sanders, 11%. Right? That's basically his dynamic density based on him not hitting to date for a top 12 seasonal finish. When you compare that to David Montgomery, it's 70%. When you sort of look, the the market's implying a better base rate and a better density actually for Miles Sanders for a top 12 seasonal, top 24 seasonal finish. But historically, it's David Montgomery with a significantly higher top 12 implied number based on his dynamic density. So that's the one thing I would just point to there that's pretty interesting when you start sort of looking at some of these numbers. Again, that's basically you're using your priors, right? You're using the draft round historically and the accomplishments to date. And that's just that's telling you basically how many guys with those numbers, right, with a single top 12 seasonal finish as a first round running back, what percent of those guys hit two more seasons for a top 12 seasonal finish. The market implied number is a calculation of that, right, based on the odds of the pick producing two or more top 12 seasonal finishes over the next 5 years. I initially used three when I was actually recording the podcast and was trying to explain why I was using three. And I, long story short, I wanted to sort of match up with the other ones, but I said that because of this, you know, you're measuring basically second hit. It's going to taint the numbers a little bit, maybe like 10 to 15% increase it. And so whatever, I hit pause, went back, recalculated it, and just I'm using the 1 through 5. That's going to capture the number. I think an easy way to think about this is sort of when you look at, you know, when you look at the these numbers. So if you see like a 50% hit rate, right, if you see like a 50% top 12, 1 through 5 implied. So, for example, like McCaffrey. McCaffrey's at 47.18. If you just take, if you kind of take 10% off of that, that's basically what you'll see in the first 3 years. That's essentially the number. And then you basically get, it's about a 10 to 15% bump up, depending on sort of where you are in the ordering. It functions a little bit differently, but that's an easy rule of thumb to sort of think about it in the first 3 years. And so that's apples to apples with some of the other, you know, with the top 24 market implied number. But I did include it because, you know, if you hit in year three, right, for a top 12 seasonal finish, that's much easier to do than, that's a different, it's much different to do that. And you're not really going to get a breakout in year four or five. Typically, it's really rare to get a breakout in year four or five, ADP when you haven't done it yet. So that's easier from a one hit to measure the first 3 years, 'cause that's pretty inclusive. You do miss some of the tails of, you know, some of the fatter tails of the running back position. If you at the multiple hit, multiple elite hit level, which is two top 12 seasonal finishes, if you cut it off after 3 years. So I want to include that. And, you know, just think of that if you're trying to sort of do apples to apples with the 3 years, just take basically 10 to 15% off. And that's the easiest way to think of it. So, all right. So I will do an additional one probably later this week. Again, I'm going to try and get wide receivers and running backs out. I will do some additional stuff going forward in terms of, you know, maybe some specific stuff. One general rule that I would say is the top 12 implied hit rate is much more condensed up at the top. The top 24 hit rate is much smoother throughout the position, right? You can, a simple way to think of that is you can, you're more likely to hit from earlier, but you can hit from deep for the limited top 24 seasonal finish, right? A guy like Mike Davis can get inside the line from 250 overall, right? Giovanni Bernard, right? Those stories can happen. What the numbers really, really strongly suggest is that doesn't happen twice. And the guys that really get up and do it twice, it is very, very condensed up at the top. A simple way to think about this is essentially what is the, if you were to add it up, basically where does about 50% of the probability of a future hit come from, right? So you can do this for different things. You look at certain thresholds and just say, all right, like we'll add up all the probabilities across RDP of a guy hitting for a top of a top 24 seasonal finish in the first 3 years, and sort of where does that, where's that 50-50 marker lie? It lies right about running back 24, as a matter of fact. So about 48% of the probability of a future hit is in that top 24. When you look for where that 48%, you know, the equivalent number is for the top two hits in the first 5 years, it's in the top 12 running backs, right? So it's really up there. It is really condensed, right? You're sort of really looking up in those elite spots, and that's really the where it's locked in. Now, I think that probably naturally comes from the fact that there's less of them, right? So it is a little bit more condensed. But when you look, you know, just at different price points even too, you can sort of say, okay, well, yeah, it's half as likely, sure. But when you sort of look, you know, just take random spots here. It's a 46% chance that a running back basically hits from running back, you know, from 36 that they hit for a top 12 seasonal finish at some point in the first 3 years. So you think, okay, like running back 36, like, all right, like there's a 46% chance. The odds that they actually hit for two top 12 seasonal finishes in the first 5 years, 8%. Right. So when you look at that, you're like, oh, well, it's pretty smooth at running back, right? That's only, you know, that's about half of what the first guy is. Like, all right, like that's not horrible. But when you sort of compare it, it's literally one sixth of the odds of a top 12 seasonal finish, of multiple top 12 seasonal finishes, compared to the first guy. So it's just a huge difference, really. It's much more condensed up at the top. It's a very steep curve. I'm gonna do probably a blog post on this and talk a little bit more about it, because I do think it has some implications, right? And how much should we be shooting for individual things, in terms of, you know, arbitrary accomplishments, is probably a story for a different day. But I do think it represents a little bit more of a the type of outcome you're looking for, right? Does running back 13 versus 11 matter? Did the numbers precisely matter? No, but I think it stands for, when you see the starkness of that number, it very much speaks to a very different type of possibility. The other different impact, right? A different just probability of these things. And so when you can move, right, this is the thing, right? When you can, when you're sort of looking for fat tails, big outcomes, right? These sorts of things, when you are trading from a you know, in whether it's a falling price, whether that's in season, whether, you know, be careful on the type of asset you're looking for, and the type of falling knife you're trying to grab. But when you are trading a guy that was a 36 ADP for a guy that was a top 10, there's a level of upside there that's baked into that cost that even if it's a slow start or any of those things, right? We're measuring this over 5 years, right? So that might maybe tick the number down just a little bit, but let's keep it in relativity here. There's a lot more upside on that pick based on what everything that was known about that pick and all the prior information than there is about the guy at 36, right? And so just when you think about those things, this is sort of the game we're trying to play. You know, I think a lot about, and I'm going to do this at quarterback too, because I kind of have my NBA superstar theory on the quarterback position. Right? You pay the price. It almost doesn't matter at a particular point. If you're paying for Mahomes, right, you pay the price. And this is sort of saying that it's a little bit different than that. And again, you have to remember, it's no matter what level of running back you're looking at, including running back one, including like a really good running back one. And we're not in that case. No, this is no knock on Christian McCaffrey, but this is not a really good running back one class because he keeps coming off an injury. When you're looking at running back ones, it is no better than a 50-50 shot that they produce two top 12 seasonal finishes in the next 5 years, right? You're better off taking the under on that. Taking the under on two. Right. That's where the numbers lie. So just keep those things in mind and keep those relative things in mind. One player I was talking about this week that I do think, that is pretty interesting and relevant is A.J. Dillon. And A.J. Dillon, I'm not going to do a ton of these, but this sort of hits some of the spot here. A.J. Dillon, running back 21 in the most recent draft position. That is an implied hit rate of 65% over the next 3 years, okay? It's actually pretty high when you think about it, including where his base rate is right around 50-50. So you're getting a pretty big – the market likes him, which is notable because they didn't really like him above his base rate last year. His odds were below his base rate as a rookie, so that's interesting. When you look at the odds that he finishes two top 12 – seasonal finishes over the next 5 years, it's 19%. So 20%. When you go back to look at where he was at about running back 32 last year. So that would have been his odds of hitting there was 51% in the first 3 years. So basically a coin flip. Again, that is below the base rate. So he basically did nothing in his rookie year and went from below the base rate to well above the base rate. So that's an interesting movement when you sort of look at it. It means we were on the right side, right? We were ahead of the market. We were on the right side of that. That is good process. The other thing there, when you look at the difference in terms of the likelihood of his multiple top 12 seasonal finishes, doubles, right? So that difference from, it moves from 50 to 65 or 51 to 65. So that's good. But the odds of the really elite outcome, doubles. Right, so when you think about that, that's a different way. It's just a different sphere in terms of some of these market movements. It's a different way to look at it in terms of thinking about big outcomes. Really, you know, those the fat tails, the Sam Hinkie quotes there. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, I will probably do a graph on this, right, and sort of because I think it does show. Just seeing the lines, right, sort of shows kind of what we're shooting for, and you know, when you can get, basically when you can sell the hot ticket for the really elite guy that for some reason is beaten down, right, that's kind of the deal. So all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.